This is Greg Karumbas of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, who is also a member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. We want to get the senator's reaction to President Obama's speech on energy policy on Wednesday, as well as get a lot of details on the new legislation that Senator Vitter is co-sponsoring along with Utah Republican Congressman Rob Bishop, called the 3D Act, the Domestic Jobs, Domestic Energy, and Deficit Reduction Act of 2011. And Senator, it's always great to have you with us.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be with you.
Well, the president says he wants to reduce our dependence on foreign sources of energy, mainly oil, by about a third by 2025. He talked about how we need to have an economy that is less dependent upon it, how we need to develop our own sources of energy. It seemed like part of that included oil and natural gas, but at the same time, he also said young Americans have a responsibility to get electric or at least very fuel-efficient cars. What did you make of his speech yesterday?
Well, Greg, unfortunately, it was sort of typical of this president. It was a nice speech. When you dug and looked at the substance, there wasn't anything new or promising there. In fact, in the speech, he admitted that this was a restatement of his energy policy from the last 2 years. And that's the policy that's got us a 96% increase at the price at the pump, shutting down the Gulf, taking back leases, cutting back on domestic production, really moving in the wrong direction in terms of domestic energy. Today, in contrast to that, I've joined with a lot of other colleagues, 29 U.S. senators total, similar number of U.S. House members, to introduce that 3D Act you mentioned, domestic jobs, domestic energy, deficit reduction. And we would open up access to domestic energy in a full-scale way, in an aggressive way, and in doing so, create a lot of good jobs right here at home and reduce the deficit.
One more question on the speech before we get to more of the details of the legislation, and that's the president opposing and saying that you are wrong on things that you have told us many times and many of your colleagues as well. He says he has not been stifling exploration in the Gulf of Mexico in the wake of the BP disaster, saying that the facts don't bear that out. Obviously, you and your colleagues have presented many facts to the contrary. So what do you make of that?
You know, yesterday, the day he gave that speech, the day he said that, they just issued their seventh deepwater exploratory permit since the disaster. In a comparable period before the disaster, there would have been 68, almost 10 times as many. We need to do better. The Gulf is still virtually shut down. Hopefully, we're ramping up. Hopefully, we're beginning to get there. But, you know, less than one a month is going to strangle us if we stay at that rate. So we need to do a whole lot better for the nation's sake, certainly for the economy of the Gulf Coast.
And let's talk now more about the legislation. And you mentioned opening up more areas off the coast of the United States for exploration, mandating basically outer continental shelf lease sales.
Right.
Are we talking both coasts, Gulf of Mexico, across the board?
Yes, across the board, wherever there is commercial interest in lease sales, we would mandate that. We would open it up across the board. And I think Americans support that, particularly as they see the price at the pump nearing $4 and threatening to go higher.
One of the things we saw, of course, and I think you made this point last year when the president announced that he wanted more exploration right before the BP disaster, was that it wasn't really much of a concession on his part because he knew that environmental groups would try to tie up any new exploration in the courts. So a part of this legislation on your part is to limit the time frame for environmental and judicial concerns to be taken care of here. What's the specifics on that?
Well, it's exactly right, Greg. We aren't changing standards. We aren't lowering environmental standards. We're just saying that the environmental and the judicial review has to be within a reasonable period of time. And you can't have challenges back to back to back to back that are never ending, that stall the process of developing these resources for years or forever. It has to be consolidated within a reasonable period of time.
In terms of other things, onshore, for example, exploration, you talk about opening up ANWR. That's obviously been an issue that's been debated for many, many years now, and also stalled onshore permits. How much are we talking about if those two things were dealt with properly?
A lot. In permits that were either issued and then taken back or simply have been stalled for years, we could create enormous jobs and enormous energy production. We're talking about lease projects that were withdrawn in Utah in 2009. EPA withdrew a Clean Water Act permit for a Spruce No. 1 mine in West Virginia. The State Department has been stalling and failing to move on a pipeline project that deals with Canada. EPA has been stalling on permits for shale oil operations in offshore Alaska. So a lot of things that fall into that category. If we act on those stalled or revoked permits, it would be a lot of job creation and energy production.
You also call for the creation of an alternative energy trust fund. What's that
right.
all about?
Well, we would take 25% of the brand new revenue created out of ANWR and devote that to alternative energy research and production. It's a good way to expand new sources of energy and develop that without using current taxpayer dollars. So it would only be taking new revenue, 25% of that coming out of ANWR.
Let's say you got all this through the Congress and the president agreed to it. How long before we would see some major job increases? How long before we would see production numbers really starting to jump up as well?
Well, it would ramp up over time, but you would see some immediate impact because a lot of these things are ready to go. They're permits that were issued and then revoked. They're stalled situations like in the Gulf. So, you know, the old liberal argument that you wouldn't see any of this make a difference for years and years. It's just not true. You would see some immediate impact, real immediate impact, and then it would ramp up from there.
We keep hearing from the president and others who are probably not going to be real warm to this legislation that even if you exploited everything America has in terms of our natural resources, it still wouldn't make that big of a difference in terms of the amount of energy that we consume. If, in fact, you were to get all this, how big of a percentage would we be able to produce domestically?
Greg, I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but it would make a difference. It would have an impact on price, on energy security, certainly on jobs and deficit reduction. The Obama administration itself pretty much admitted that about 3 weeks ago when they admitted that energy supply was a factor. Now, unfortunately, they weren't pushing for more domestic supply. They were pushing for going hat in hand to the Saudis and begging them to increase production, also considering opening up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is supposed to be about national security. But still, they were admitting supply is a factor. Increasing supply would help dramatically. If that's true in terms of begging the Saudis, or if that's true with the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, it's absolutely true about using all of these natural resources, energy resources we have in this country.
Last question before we let you go, Senator. You mentioned 29 senators already on board. I would imagine the skating will be a little bit smoother in the House, but what's your sense on, given our current high gas prices and other energy concerns right now, that this might get passage or at least consideration on the Senate floor this year as well?
Well, we had a great start today. You know, having 29 original authors from the get-go is a great start, obviously almost a third of the entire Senate. And I think we're going to see in the next few months what we saw in the summer of 2008. As the price at the pump continues to rise, Americans are going to get more focused and more up in arms. And they're going to start asking again, why the heck do we take 95% of all the abundance in this country and put it off limits? You know, we're not used to thinking of ourselves as an energy-rich country, but we are. In fact, nonpartisan sources, the Congressional Research Service, for example, says we are the richest country in terms of energy resources in the world, and the only other one that comes close overall is Russia. If you total all of our resources, oil, natural gas, coal, and other things, we are far more energy rich than Saudi Arabia, any country in the Middle East. The problem is we take 95% of that and put it off limits and say under federal law we cannot touch it. And that's fundamentally what we have to change.
Well, we'll see if the 3D Act makes a lot of progress in the House and Senate, and if it's passed, exactly what type of impact it'll have on our economy and certainly our energy independence. Senator, thank you very much, as always, for being with us.
Thank you, Greg, very much.
Absolutely. Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.